Good afternoon. My name is Latoya, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the McClatchy First Quarter 2010 Earnings Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Elaine Lindsay-Cunn. You may begin your conference.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today for our first quarter conference call. The call is being webcast at mcclatchy.com, and that webcast will be archived for future reference. Joining me today is Gary Pruitt, our Chairman and CEO, our Vice Presidents of Operations, Bob Weil and Frank Whitaker, our Vice President of Interactive Media, Chris Hendricks, and our Vice President and CFO, Pat Talamantes. We're all available for questions at the end of Gary's remarks. We'll be sticking to the one question per participant rule. If you have follow-up questions, I'll be available and can be reached at 916-321-1846. The earnings release and statistical report were issued this morning before the market opened. It includes a summary of our unaudited results, and the full text of that release and the statistical report are posted on our website for your convenience. We've also posted reconciliations of non-GAAP amounts that will be discussed on the call this morning. They are reconciled to the most directly comparable GAAP measure in the schedules that are on the website. As a reminder, this conference call will contain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties, including, among others, those described in the company's 2009 annual report on Form 10-K. Actual results may differ materially from those described during the call. Now, here's Gary Pruitt, our CEO.
Thanks, Elaine. Hello, everyone. For the first quarter of 2010, we reported net income of $4.8 million, or $0.06 per share, excluding charges related to our debt refinancing and restructuring-related severance. This compares to a net loss of $22.9 million, or $0.28 per share, excluding unusual items in the first quarter of 2009. Much of the financial improvement we reported came from improving revenue trends. Total revenues in the first quarter of 2010 were down 8.2% compared to a decline of 16.5% in the fourth quarter of 2009. Advertising revenues in the first quarter declined year-over-year by 11.2% compared to a 20.5% decline in the fourth quarter of 2009 and a 28.1% decline in the third quarter of 2009. Moreover, ad revenues within the first quarter also showed an improving trend, down 12.9% in January, 10.6% in February, and 9.7% in March. Digital advertising revenues grew 2.2% in the first quarter. In addition to improving revenue trends, we continued to be vigilant in reducing expenses. We reduced cash expenses in the first quarter by 21.3%, excluding severance. The combination of improving revenues and strong cost control resulted in a significant gain in operating cash flow this quarter. Operating cash flow nearly doubled to $81.9 million, and our operating cash flow margin was 24.4%. Completing our debt refinancing was an important accomplishment in the first quarter, and we look forward to discussing it with you. First, let's look at our operating results, starting with revenues by category. Retail advertising was down 11.5% in Q1 compared to a decline of 20.3% during the fourth quarter of 2009. The declines in our print advertising were partially offset by strong growth in digital advertising. Digital retail advertising was up 9.4% in Q1. Classified advertising was down 13.8% this quarter, an 11.2 percentage point improvement from the fourth quarter of 2009. The improvement is consistent across all regions and in all categories of classified advertising. Here's a look at how the major classified categories performed during the quarter. Employment advertising, the most improved category, was down 18.4% in the first quarter versus 43.6% in the fourth quarter of 2009, a 25.2 percentage point improvement. For the quarter, print improvement revenues were down 26.8%, while online revenues were down 6.5%. For the first time in a very long while, the declines in employment advertising were in the single digits in March, down 8.5% in total. Automotive advertising was down 14.1%, a 6.3 percentage point pickup from the fourth quarter. Our print advertising was down 19.3%, and online auto advertising was down only 3.2%. Real estate advertising was down 26.8%, which was an 8.8 percentage point improvement from the fourth quarter. Print advertising was down 29.8%, and online real estate advertising declined 16% from the first quarter of 2009. Other classified advertising, which includes legal, remembrance and celebration notices, and miscellaneous advertising, now makes up about 30% of our classified advertising and has been growing for the last two quarters. It was up 2.8% in the first quarter of this year, on top of a 0.1% growth in the fourth quarter of 2009. Turning next to national advertising, it showed good recovery in Q1 as well. National advertising declined 7% in the quarter, compared to a 19.8% decline in the first quarter in the last quarter of 2009. Print losses were partially offset by a 9.1% growth in digital national advertising. While digital advertising was included in the results I just reviewed, we wanted to discuss this important and growing part of our business with you in more detail. Digital advertising revenue grew 2.2%, slower than we saw in the fourth quarter, but still positive. We faced tough comparisons to 2009 when we implemented price increases and introduced new digital products. But even so, our digital business remains strong. In fact, both auto and employment digital advertising showed growth in the month of March, a potential indicator of economic recovery. Digital advertising was 17.5% of total advertising in the first quarter of 2010. We recently announced the rollout of an online marketing platform called WebVisible, which will be in every McClatchy market by the end of the year. WebVisible gives our local advertisers the most efficient way to place advertisements on multiple search engines, including Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Adding this platform furthers our strategy of providing local advertisers with market-leading solutions that drive results for our customers and increase our revenues. Turning to circulation, circulation revenues grew 1.8% in the first quarter of 2010. Daily circulation declined 10%, and Sunday was down 8.2%. We expect improvement in the trends later this year as we lap the circulation initiatives we took in 2009 to both cut expenses and increase revenues. But circulation doesn't fully measure our readership any more than the number of TV sets measures broadcast viewership. And our print readership declines are much less than our circulation declines. Furthermore, we measure our audience in terms of our print and digital products, and our strategy is to grow total audience regardless of platform. Overall, our websites grew their local online audience by 18% in the first quarter of 2010 compared to Q1 2009. Our hybrid print and digital business model allows us to offer our advertising and compelling journalism in whatever format our readers and users prefer most. Turning next to expenses, as I had mentioned earlier, total cash expenses in the first quarter were down 21.3%, excluding the impact of severance. This quarter, we saw the benefits from our March 2009 restructuring initiatives, as well as some actions we took in the first quarter of this year. Compensation costs were down 18%, excluding severance. Newsprint and supplement costs declined 40.6%, reflecting lower newsprint prices and usage. Newsprint prices were down 30.7%, and usage was down 23%. Supplements expense was up 1.5%. All other expenses declined 16.5%. Interest costs were up $6.8 million from the first quarter of 2009, reflecting higher rates, offset somewhat by lower debt balances. Our effective interest rate paid on debt in Q1 was 7.1%, which includes only a partial quarter of our new bonds and bank amendment. We expect to pay an effective interest rate of about 8.5% going forward. In addition, we have about $6.5 million in non-cash interest expenses that we record each quarter. Capital expenses in the quarter were $1.7 million, and we plan to hold CapEx to about $20 million in 2010. We also expect to make pension contributions in the $19 million range, slightly lower than we thought at year-end, with the first payment due in July. Looking forward, even though we expect advertising revenues to be down in the second quarter, we believe the ad trend will continue to improve. We will remain vigilant on costs, but the savings run rate going forward will be lower than we experienced in the first quarter because we cycled over the major restructuring initiatives implemented in early 2009. Even so, we expect cash expenses to be down in the high single-digit range in the second quarter. We expect that continued favorable revenue trends and stringent cost controls will allow us to at least maintain, if not grow, cash flow from operations in 2010. Finally, we are pleased to have completed our debt refinancing and appreciate the confidence that investors have demonstrated in our company. Their willingness to contribute new capital to our company indicates their belief that we are weathering this recession and successfully transitioning to the hybrid print and online business model that will sustain us in the future. We will continue to focus on our strategic priorities and core competencies: high-quality journalism, advertising sales, and digital media. That focus will allow us to generate cash to repay more debt. Our total debt at the end of the first quarter was $1.905 billion, down more than $43 million from the end of 2009, despite incurring $46.6 million in costs associated with the refinancing and premiums paid on the bond tenders. Importantly, our leverage profile continued to improve. We had expected our leverage ratio to improve to 5x operating cash flow at the end of the first quarter of 2010. Instead, we finished the quarter with a leverage ratio of 4.65x, more than a quarter turn better than our earlier expectations. While this ratio may bounce around, we expect it to remain below 5x for all of 2010. So we believe financial covenants are not a concern for the company, nor are debt maturities, as a majority of these have been pushed off to 2017. We have approximately $185 million in availability under our bank credit lines and have only $55.7 million in maturities in June 2011 and $93.4 million coming due in June 2013. After that, the company has no debt of consequence coming due until late 2014. But we will not be complacent about our leverage. We expect to make further progress in paying down debt in 2010. In summary, we are pleased with our first quarter results, given the economic environment in which we are operating. We are looking forward to a successful 2010 and are poised to benefit from the economic recovery as it progresses. Thank you for your attention, and now we will be happy to answer your questions.
Latoya?
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press the star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Alexia Cordini from J.P. Morgan. Your line is now open.
Thank you. A question on the outlook for the second quarter. Do you think your expense reductions can outpace revenue declines in Q2? And also, how is April trending compared to March?
Okay, well, we're not giving any revenue guidance beyond in the second quarter, beyond saying that we expect revenue trends to continue to improve. Visibility is not great, but we do see enough to be confident that trends will continue to improve. And on the expense side, we do see expenses down in the high single-digit range. So in this first quarter, we did have total revenues down 8.2% and advertising revenues 11.2%. We see that 11.2% improving and expenses in the high single digits. We will anniversary some of the circulation price increases. So circulation revenue trends may not improve in the same way that advertising revenue trends improve. April, we have actually no meaningful advertising trends to report to you from April because of the Easter switch in the calendar. We have some weeks affected positively and negatively by that switch. Therefore, we feel it not helpful to report anything on April at this point.
And can you tell us what national advertising was in March?
Yeah. National advertising, it bounced around all quarter. It was a, you know, it often does for us. It's not a big category for us, but in January it was down 3.9%. In February it was down 4.1%. And then in March it got worse. It was down 13.4%. For the quarter it was down 7%. And in the fourth quarter it was down 19.8%. So the trend was good within the quarter, but it bounced around within the quarter.
Your next question comes from Craig Huber from Access 342. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Craig.
A couple things, if I could, a two-part question. The advertising rates, what was the percent change down there year-over-year in the first quarter? And then, just importantly, on the compensation expense line, $134 million of costs are adjusting for the so-called one-time item. That was up, $5 to $10 million for each of the last two quarters. What changed on your compensation expenses versus what happened in the third and fourth quarter? You take out the severance charges. Why was it higher?
Okay. On the first question of rates, the always a difficult question to get at, and more difficult given the mix of products. But in general, the advertising rates were down in the mid to high single digit rate, which is an improvement from the trend from last year. And it's more difficult to get at or be more precise than that because much of our revenue now is wrapped up in revenue contracts and also wrapped up in contracts where advertisers are buying a portfolio of products, both print and digital, some the paid newspaper, some free products, various digital products. So it's more difficult to tease out a mathematical mean for you in that way. And then on the second question, I kind of tell you, Craig, I didn't follow you. If you can repeat it for me, please. If you can let Craig back on the line, I know that may be difficult to do both technologically and for other reasons. But, Craig, if you could come back on and ask that question.
Just press that. Oh, there he is. He's coming. Your line is open.
Thank you for that. Yeah, Craig Huber here. Compensation adjusting for the so-called one-time item was $134 million in the first quarter.
Right.
It was higher than the $125 million you had in the fourth quarter and called $129 million you had in the third quarter. Why was it up sequentially?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't listen closely enough the first time. We have more accruals in terms of incentive compensation in 2010 than in 2009. There were no bonuses paid in 2009. There may be bonuses paid in 2010, depending upon the company's performance. So an accrual is being made for that at this time. Also, the revenue trends are much improved, still down. But, compare very favorably to high 20s last year, and that means that there are higher variable costs associated with that. including commissions and other compensation.
I'm sorry, Gary, but you're at your
Somebody else cut him off, not me. I know that sounded suspicious, but I don't know what happened.
He just dropped. Can you queue? Do you want him to queue back up?
Not really, but we'll let him anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Gary, can you hear me? Craig Huber?
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty easy on you. Come on, my friend.
I'm kidding. Come on.
I know. No, but seasonally, though, the quarter was much smaller on the revenue front than the fourth quarter, so I don't quite understand why it's in the variable cost and the compensation would be up to account, you know, for $134 million versus $125 in the fourth quarter. I hear you on the accrual side. Maybe if you could let me know or let us know how much the accruals were in the first quarter so I could think about that further.
Yeah, I don't have the detail of that breakout, Craig, but you can call Elaine, and I think she can give you a more precise idea of the breakout in that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ken Silver from Royal Bank of Scotia. Your line is open.
Hi, Royal Bank of Scotland. Can you just talk about circulation volume trends in the second quarter? Are they, you know, you said down 10 and down 8 for daily and Sunday in the first quarter, right?
Yes, that's right. And so in the second quarter, we expect to see an improving trend there, but that trend to accelerate in its improvement in the second half, trending more towards the mid-single-digit range. What's happening is that we're cycling on aggressive price increases we took last year in the late first quarter and throughout the second quarter in an effort to offset some of the advertising revenue declines. And we are also cycling on circulation actions we took in the first half and second quarter, where we were cutting back on unprofitable and expensive circulation in far-flung geographic areas. So we're beginning to cycle on that, and we would expect that that trend would continue to improve. It even improved in the first quarter. As lousy as those numbers were, they were better than the fourth quarter trend by a couple percentage points on daily circulation.
Oh, okay, am I still on?
Yes.
And can you just clarify what you said about, you know, I guess readership being different than circulation?
Sure. The readership, and we know this from our research studies on readership. So, what I reported when I said the down 10 and down 8, which was, of course, circulation. That is just the number of copies, and that is not the audience. On average, 3 people read a newspaper. So the readership is much higher than the circulation number. In fact, readers per copy has grown over time and in recent years. There have been more readers on average per copy, according to recently released Scarborough research. And for us, readership declined far less than circulation because the circulation we eliminated was not read as much as the circulation we kept. It was not as valuable. Some of it was third-party circulation. Some of it was discounted. Our circulation now is a higher core with less churn, so a higher quality circulation, albeit lower. And so we have the research to support the idea that the readership declines were much less than the circulation declines.
Your next question comes from Matt Swope from Broad Point Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. You talked a little bit, Gary, about your intention to pay down more debt as you go along here. Will that all be in the form of paying down the term loan, or do you have any ability or desire to pay down any of the unsecured debt?
Well, in the short term, it's all going to be focused on paying down the bank term debt. And that's what we will focus on first and foremost. And so while those maturities are, are not substantial, they will keep us busy here for a little while. About $56 million due in June of 11 and $93 million in June of 13. We'll keep paying them down. We do have some 11 bonds left, which we will take out. There are relatively small amounts, so we'll take out those as well. We do have the ability to, you know, enter the market and buy back bonds and reduce debt that way, but that will be something we can, after we can, we will consider after we take out the 11 bonds and the bank term debt, which we will do first and foremost, and we'll use all of our free cash flow to do.
Is there a limit on how much, just a restricted payments limit on how much you're able to do of taking bonds out in the open market?
Yeah, I'll defer that to Pat, our CFO.
Yes, of course, the restricted payments basket would govern how much bonds we could take in the open market. And since we just issued those notes, that restricted payment basket will grow over time as we generate free cash flow.
Your next question comes from Scott Wieberman from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open.
Great. Thanks for taking the question. Gary, first, just as I look at the advertising categories, retail, national, classified, could you comment on which you feel you have the most upside in, where you're seeing the most improvement, and as we think about the remainder of the year, where do you guys think you have the most momentum to actually show growth? And then second, just on the expense side, if you could just comment on where you see additional ability to take out expenses going forward the remainder of the year.
Sure. On the revenue categories, we see the most upside in still what is our worst category, classified advertising. Classified advertising was hit the hardest. It is the most cyclical, but it is also the one, so it will recover best, we believe, and it also is an area where we have very strong digital products to fuel that growth. So, to give you a sense of the classified rebound, you know, roughly 38% in the third quarter, 25% in the fourth quarter, 14% down in the first quarter, and continues to trend. Classified is the category that bounces around the least. It trends the most with the economy. So it went down for 16 or more consecutive quarters, getting worse each quarter. And starting mid-year, it began to improve, and it has improved sharply in each of the past three quarters. And we expect that it will continue to improve. And we saw that pattern within the quarter. So we think classified advertising has the most upside, and it's the one that gives us the most confidence in terms of a projection going forward of improving advertising revenue trends. And in some of those classified categories, in employment, for instance, a majority of our revenue is now in digital. So this isn't a secular issue as much either. Much more of our revenue is in digital in the classified category. So we think we're poised with great products, you know, CareerBuilder in employment, Cars.com in auto, HomeFinder in real estate, et cetera. We think we'll see good upside in classified advertising. National, as we said, bounces around, but the trend is improving there. Retail is in between classified and national in terms of predictability, and it has shown improvement as well. So, while classified has the most upside, we're seeing improving trends in every region, in every category. As far as the expenses go looking forward, we think we'll face some headwinds on newsprint as newsprint prices are rising, although we don't think they're going to be rising as fast as the newsprint companies think. And then we would see other categories, some opportunities in the other categories, all other and compensation expense. But what the trends we see there in many ways will be affected by what we're seeing in revenue trends. And we are not anxious to make more cuts, On the other hand, we understand that if revenue trends persist down, we may very well have to make more cuts. And so we're seeking to strike that balance.
Your next question comes from Avi Steiner from J.P. Morgan. Your line is now open.
Thanks. I'll make this brief, but you talked about some potential areas of upside. Can you talk about maybe what's going on in Florida and California, if you're seeing anything better there? And then lastly, what drove the pension contribution change this year? Thank you.
Sure. As far as California and Florida goes, they certainly were our worst and led into the recession, but now they're kind of in total ad revenues, they're much closer to performance with the rest of the company. So while we were 11.2% down in advertising revenue for the total company, California was down 11.6, Florida was down 11.9, so just a little worse than the average. But to dig down a little bit and go a little more granular, Florida and California are still lagging in classified advertising, which means they're still lagging in terms of an economic recovery. And so in real estate, California is still down to the quarter 35%. And most importantly, in employment, where the company was down 18.4% in the quarter, Florida was down 25%, and California was down 28%. So we are still seeing indications that Florida and California are lagging in economic recovery, and the macro figures show that in the economy. So we still see good upside for Florida and California, which is not being realized yet and classified. They've done better in retail, but classified remains a place for upside potential. As far as the pension expense question, I'll turn it over to Pat.
I mean, we're just able to use more funding credits from the past contributions this year. We had previously guided, I think, to $22 million this year. And through greater use of the credit, we're looking at only having to make a $19 million contribution this year.
Your next question comes from Bob Kerchief from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open.
Hi. Could you just take us through the working cap swings during the quarter and give us an idea what we might be able to expect for the rest of the year on that line?
Sure.
Sure. You know, I think it's kind of a complicated quarter in the sense that, you know, we've got all the swings on the debt side, but also from a cash from operations perspective, it's complicated as well. First quarter is typically our lowest quarter in terms of EBITDA, but from a cash generation perspective, two things really impact that. One is collecting receivables that were generated in the fourth quarter during our seasonal high point, and then we're always subject to tax payment swings during that first quarter, depending on, you know, the profitability outlook for the year, any catch-up payments related to the prior year. So between collecting receivables from prior year, as well as having only to make a very, very modest, less than $1 million payments on account of taxes, we were able to generate almost $100 million in cash from operations and investing activities in the first quarter. And most of the models wouldn't have reflected that, and so I think that's the predominant reason why bank debt is appearing to be lower than folks expected. Going forward, of course, none of this has a bearing on what happens in the rest of the year because we don't have that collection of receivables the same way we do in this first quarter. And, of course, we will have tax payments to make as we go through the rest of the year. So it's not something by any stretch that you can extrapolate. Better to continue with your full-year models. But as we've talked about before, when we talk about cash taxes, working capital swings, timing differences can impact that number.
Your next question comes from Jonathan Levine from Jefferies. Your line is now open.
Yeah, most of my questions have been asked and answered, but I just did want to follow up on the online revenues. I mean, if you go back over really the last 8 to 12 quarters, it's pretty much been in kind of that, you know, low to mid 40, some of them kind of going to the upper 40 million range on a quarterly basis. Can you talk a little bit in terms of what you're seeing? Are you seeing kind of new demand from, I guess, new advertisers in that segment, what you're seeing in terms of rate and kind of how we should think about that over the next maybe three-plus quarters?
Sure. I'll answer generally first and then turn it over to Chris for more specifics. We've actually been very pleased with our digital revenue performance into the teeth of this terrible recession. So they have held up quite well, and in terms of percent of ad revenue, have grown nicely. So we feel good about their performance overall. They are in now 17.5% of ad revenues and highly profitable at a higher profit margin than our print business. And even last year, with all of the big declines that media suffered, our digital revenue grew. I think we were the only newspaper company that had digital ad revenue growth last year. But with that general introduction, I'll turn it to Chris Hendricks, our VP of Interactive Media.
Right. I'll address this in two ways. One, on the product side, last year we introduced a lot of new products in the classified categories, specifically in legal, obits, and the lesser categories, and that seemed to be a focus, as well as ramping out Yahoo on the retail side. This year, last year, we also took pricing up where we had seen there was inventory scarcity, value, and opportunity for us. This year, we see the ability more to really explore the retail side of the business for continuing the Yahoo sales in the local marketplace, bringing in new retailers in those categories, and also in the national category. And then, as Gary suggested earlier, launching of Web Visible to bring some search engine marketing aspect to it, selling for Bing, Google, and for Yahoo. So we also do have video coming, rolling out less further out in the year. So we think the second half will show improvement over what we've seen here in the first quarter as we roll out these products. We don't see the ability to go back and raise pricing this year, specifically on a CPM basis and also on an upsell basis, but that's okay because we're going to continue to roll out new product.
Thanks, Chris.
Your next question comes from Barry Schwartz from Chatton and Assets. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. Two things. One, I just was trying to reconcile some of the debt balances. Maybe I could do this offline later with you, Pat, but I'm coming in with about $71 million less of total debt, based on what's in the press release. And I'm just wondering if there's something, if pensions are included in that or what's in that total liability number.
Well, I'm sorry. You're saying that the debt number you have is $71 million lower than what we put in the release?
Less than what you have. I have about $1.8 billion.
What could happen, I don't know if you have the discounts, bond discounts, in your numbers. Our numbers are at notional value without regard to the purchase accounting for the discounts.
Okay, well, I could talk about it offline. The other questions I had, though, were I was hoping maybe you can update me on what the status is of the Miamiland sale, if any of there's progress with that, and maybe if you could talk a little bit about what's going on with Career Builder and some of your assets that you have on off balance sheet.
Sure. With regard to the Miami land, there hasn't been any updates since our last quarter conference call. So $190 contract for 10 acres of land adjacent to the Miami Herald plant. We have received $16 million in non-refundable deposit. There is a termination, and the buyer has until end of January 2011, so about three quarters from now, to close the deal. If the deal doesn't close by the end of January, we're entitled to a termination fee of $7 million, and the buyer is... was hopeful of closing the deal, and we're hopeful the deal closes as well, but we have no further update than that. With regard to our internet assets, we feel they are an important part of the company and a very valuable part of the company. Career Builder is the number one employment site in North America. We own 14.4% of it. It is a profitable, private, large internet company. And it also provides us with market-leading products to sell in the employment category. Cars.com, another profitable, strong internet company, the number two auto company on the internet. and gives us great products to sell in the auto category. I mentioned employment is now majority digital. Auto is about 38% digital. We have Home Finder, which is a relatively new internet company in the real estate category owned with Tribune and Gannett, and expect and hope that it gives us great products and hope that and expect it will be a strong internet player as well. We own over a quarter of Cars.com. We also own over a quarter of Apartments.com, the number one or two rental company online, depending on the measure. And that helps us in the apartments category. So we have investments in these companies that we feel are valuable, profitable, and importantly, also help our operating strategy and further it. I don't know, Chris, if you have anything to add.
No, the only thing I would add is that CareerBuilder continues to expand internationally, making acquisitions as they see fit, with the goal, of course, of while they are the leader in the U.S. as far as revenue and traffic is concerned, is to be the leader globally.
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Edward Antorino from Benchmark Company. Your line is now open.
Good morning. I guess it's still morning there.
Yeah.
Interest expense, should we, if you take out the extra costs, would that be sort of a run rate on interest expense? And same question on comp, which I realize you may be running out of places to take things out. Is that sort of now a level of compensation that will go forward?
Yeah. With regard to interest, you should not regard that as the run rate because we only had a partial quarter with the higher interest rate that we'll have going forward. So in Q1, that interest rate was 7.1%, but that's not the run rate. The run rate is 8.5% on an average. So 8.5% will be the interest rate going forward in terms of cash interest expense.
And then add, if you add about $6.5 million of non-cash expense that reflects the amortization of discounts and financing costs and things of that nature. If you want to give me a call later, I'll walk through with you.
And then as far as comp goes, I think that it's closer to the run rate that you would see, but I would say there or slightly lower would be the run rate.
Your next question comes from Harry DeMott from Knighthead Capital. Your line is now open.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's sort of a question like Ed's just passed. I was wondering, sort of theoretically, as you look across this year, you look at last year, the total of, cash expenses were, $1.130 billion, something like that, $1.128 billion. I'm trending closer to $1 billion this year, just based on some of the stuff you've said and looking at the models. Where do you think this sort of the rock bottom number is to run the paper where you actually have to put out a physical paper, obviously not minding newsprint cost in so much as they're not wholly in your control, but just in terms of compensation and is that sort of like $500 million number on compensation kind of about as low as we get, and everything else beyond that is sort of the revenue.
I don't have a precise quantitative answer to give you to that question. In terms of the rock bottom expense to put out a paper, it is certainly significantly lower than that figure. But we don't plan on going to a rock bottom expense level to put out the papers. We think that we can maintain high quality products and offerings and actually grow our profitability based upon that quality and improving it. So we think that we can maximize our cash flow by not going to the rock bottom there. The papers continue to be very strong with high quality journalism. McClatchy was a Pulitzer finalist, didn't win a Pulitzer this year, did last year, won the RFK Award, one of the most prestigious journalism awards in the country, last year and this year. And for best domestic journalism, Charlotte and Kansas City won a Polk Award, another major national award in Belleville. So the papers are doing excellent work And we have had to make painful expense cuts as the revenue has declined. And while there are places to go further and make cuts and still put out the papers, you know, it's not that we're anxious to do so. We will be making cuts as necessary and needed given the revenue trends. But, you know, that's not a rock-bottom measure at all. But we don't really think in terms of the rock-bottom measure.
Your last question comes from Tim Daggett from Citi. Your line is now open.
Hi. Would you guys consider selling your stake in CareerBuilder to pay down debt?
Well, we would like to, we plan to maintain an ownership interest in CareerBuilder. Will it always be at the 14.4% level? I don't know. I think we would consider monetization opportunities with our internet assets. But at the same time, plan on maintaining an ownership stake and using those valuable products going forward. But I wouldn't rule out monetization opportunities given the right market situation.
Latoya?
And we do have one more question from Sharon Hill at AIM Group. Your line is now open.
Very much. Gary, and this may be a Chris question. He mentioned it briefly in the answer to another question, but it's about Web Visible. I've been following this since you signed on, I think, a couple papers about 2006, and now, of course, with the recent announcement that all the McClatchy papers are going to be using it. I was talking to someone at McClatchy Interactive that mentioned that you've been focusing heavily on the behavioral targeting product of Yahoo Newspaper Consortium, and that this was going to be a nice pairing with that. And I was hoping you'd say a little bit more about that, most especially about if it's going to be packaged as one sale, who's going to be approached, who's going to be selling it, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you. I'll turn it over to Chris.
Right. Hi, Sharon. Yes, indeed, it will be packaged. Our strategy is to be able to provide market-leading solutions to our advertisers, whether they be our own or whether they be partners, such as Yahoo's a great example of selling somebody else's inventory. We have expertise in the local marketplace to deal with customers on a one-on-one basis where these other companies do not. So with the Web Visible deal, it rolls up a nice package to add to our online sales, to our print sales, to bring a solution that advertisers do want but don't have the ability to manage on an ongoing basis. So that's part of the strategy. It is not to take it to market as an individual product because it is, you know, low-cost product, but it is something our advertisers want and need and that we can manage for them. And that is an ongoing strategy, and we expect to add more products and services from others with quality to our arsenal of advertising products.
There are no further questions in the queue. I turn the call back over to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening and their questions today. Look forward to a good 2010 for McClatchy. Thank you very much. Goodbye.